Assalamu alaikum and welcome to a new episode from Anas Talks. I'm your host, Anas Shatara. Based on the vote that I have done on my Instagram, that is Anas Talks, in case you were not following me yet, you should. People have chosen that I would be talking about the obstacles in business. I'm going to be trying to share all the knowledge and experiences that I have been through personally and all the knowledge that I have gained from reading the books and the podcasts in simple 5 to 6 points. Without further ado, let's start the episode. Yes. I believe that if I would approach anybody and ask them, what's your wish or what's your dream or what's your goal, everybody would answer the same thing. They want financial abundance and they want to have their own business up and running. Now, to wish for something is one thing, to work for it is another. I'm gonna try to break it down. Step number one would be, clean your surrounding and choose who do you talk to. What do I mean by that? Now, naturally, whenever you would have a business idea, you would first approach your family and friends. Now, a lesson learned, that might be one of the worst things you can ever do in your life, simply because they are not prepared to give you that answer, or probably they don't have the knowledge to give you the answer. So as an example, my friend is a carpenter, and I would approach him to discuss with him probably some things that I'm facing or some problems I'm facing in my car. Well, he's good at his thing, which is carpentry, but he might have no clue anything about car mechanics, and he might give me the wrong advice, which might lead me to take the wrong decision. I guess the picture is clear here. So, or the most common answers you would get from your family. If it was your parents, they would say, you know, calculate your moves, don't rush, don't do something so quick. If you were young, they would say, wait until you gain experience. Young meaning in your 20s. If you're approaching the end of your 20s, they would tell you, no, calculate it more. You know, the risk factor now is much bigger. You're approaching to get married or the marriage age to start a family, blah, 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 all of that talk, which is correct. I'm not trying to look down on any sort of advice the family would give us, and I highly cherish it. But especially if you're coming from a 99% of the norm of the families, which are employee type of family, which is the father was an employee, the grandfather was an employee, your uncle is an employee, your other uncle is an employee, your aunt. So all of you are systematic, all of you, regardless of how much you earn, but you are all following this same sort of cycle where you work in a company, you work your way up, you get a better income, you build a family, you live your life. So it's pretty much the same thing when you're trying to start your own business. Now, unless you are out of the minority, which come from a very big, powerful family, and money is not an issue, and you're already linked up with contacts, your father is a businessman, or has some trade that since you were a kid, you were there in his shop or around him, seeing how does it look like in real meetings, creating connections, etc., etc. So that would be a different case. I'm just trying to generalize it to everyone who I would see, especially in our community. So I would say step number one is that check your surrounding. Don't listen to them. Choose who do you listen to. I'm not telling you just close your ears and jump in head first. No, I'm telling you choose. So as an example, I have 10 of my friends. 9 of them are employees and one of them has a business. Now his business, he got it from his dad. They've been working in it for almost 40 years. Working in retail, selling stuff. Yeah. So if I would approach those 9 people who are employees, they wouldn't really give me great advice in starting a business because they have never started a business or worked in a business. Now, if I would look at it in a general manner and I would say, you know what, those 9 guys who are working as employees, they're doing much better financially from the outside. They're driving better cars, or they're going on vacations often, the type of clothes that they would buy and the places they hang out in, and that guy is barely meeting ends, I would still say he would have a much more valuable, much more real advice since he has experience from the field itself, and he would give you more accurate information and guidance rather than the other 9 people. Moving on to point number 2 is that you need to see what you are good at. as an example, today I love cars and I love motorcycles. I love all sort of machinery and everything that revolves around that in that realm. But and one of my wishes is for me to have a detailing shop for taking care of the paint on the interior of cars and motorcycles in all brands, all regardless how old or new the car is. But there's a small thing. Today I'm almost 30. And I have spent my last 15 to 20 years in the field of technology, mobile phones, tablets, software, hardware, games, recently meaning like the past 8 years, which is video production, photo production, and going deeper and deeper into animation and that creative realm. And all of a sudden, I would just simply switch to that field. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong if I have an edge to it, meaning that I have created some sort of product that's not available in the market, or I have a new idea that I'm bringing to the table. So, for example, taxis were there since ever. Even before cars were there, taxi, by meaning, was there as a mean of transportation. But Uber came in and they brought something new to the table, where it's not a taxi company, they don't own any cars, and they don't hire any drivers. They're just simply providing you the platform where they can link the taxi or the person with the car to the person who needs to get somewhere. So I would say yes, start researching about it, start working at it. But that shouldn't stop you. Like, don't get me wrong. If in my example, I want to do the car detailing thing, fine. Step number one would be that I would start researching about it. I would start getting more knowledge, getting more educated in it. Even if I would have the money to open a company today and run it for 4 years without any income and hire all those people, since I'm going to be running the show, I'm not an investor, I'm a person who's going to be running the show, I need to be aware of what's happening there and how to run the business on my own first before I even hire people to do it. So step number two, if I would summarize it, it would be check what you're good at. If you're not good at it, start working on it. Point number three, which is very much related to it, is that you need to do your research. And I'm not talking about spending a very good 20 minutes on YouTube and Google and getting all juiced up with all the motivation speaking that you would hear from YouTube, or finding a couple of links on Google and doing a quick study on Excel for, again, an hour or two, and be like, yeah, you know what? If I actually say that my income is 10,000, I'm going to break it down to the worst case scenario of 2,000 per month. That's 24,000 per year. My cost is 15,000. You know what? I'm already making money. Don't build those sand castles in your mind, because they're going to be crushed the first second you're going to put your foot in the business. And I'm not trying by any means. I'm not trying to demotivate you here. I'm just trying to be as realistic as possible. Do your research in a sense of that it might take you a year, like no joke, depending on how. Now, when I say do your research, it might take you a couple of months, probably a year or a couple of years, depending on how complicated is the topic and how far and how fast are you going in it. Now, let's say if it has something to do with programming and you were able to finish a crash course in a span of 2 to 3 weeks, or you were able to learn it slowly on a span of 40 weeks in order for you to understand more and more about software development when you want to create an application. What are the limitations? What sort of obstacles you might face? What sort of team you need to hire? See, doing your research is extremely important. Now, the reason why is that in any business or any step you want to take in life that's related to business or anything else, you have two factors. You have the calculated risk or the systematic risk and the unsystematic risk. So systematic risk, it can be calculated. You can check if you're starting a business with cars. You can check the performance of the economy in terms of the car market for the past 5 years, the selling of cars, the after sales service, the car care researches, numbers, statistics shared by the government. All of this is systematic risk. Now, the unsystematic risk is things that you don't control. let's say, God forbid, a flood happened, and then half of the cars in the country are no longer working. Or you woke up in the next year after 5 or 6 months of starting your business, and the government have imposed a 20% tax on all of your products or all of your services. And if already your prices are at par with the market, and if you'd increase it 20%, nobody's going to be coming to you. All of these can play a factor to it. And of course, it's a very deep topic that can be discussed in economics. But all what I'm trying to say is that the more you do research, the less the risk, because you're getting a more accurate answer. Again, there will be no 100% answer. You always need to take the dip. You always need to take the step. It's risky. Starting a business in general, regardless what's the activity, it is risky. So don't expect that it's going to be all flowers and rainbows and it's so easy. It's like playing a video game on easy level. So point number three is do your research. Moving on to point number four, something that Warren Buffett have said. In case you don't know Warren Buffett, just research the top three most richest people on planet Earth. So Warren Buffett said, do not put all your eggs in one basket. This is a beautiful saying. And he also has something else that he says, do not test the depth of the water in the river with both feet. You need to test it with one, meaning that you need to keep one in the safe side and one, you're being risky in it. So if you are having a certain amount of income and you're able to save 5,000, I wouldn't say that you take this whole 5,000 and invest it in something. More or less, as we say in finance, diversify your profile. That means have different tastes and different colors from every color in the spectrum. So you might invest some money in gold, you might invest some money in currencies, you might invest some money in a startup, and you might invest some money in your own startup. So if you have saved a certain amount of money, 40 or 50,000, don't just go all in. Like, don't take these unicorn stories of Apple and Dell and that he took all the money. You know, there's always something in the back of the story. There's always an angel investor somewhere, or they have got a contact, or somebody probably that did not provide them with the money. And he said, listen, show me a proof of concept and I'm going to put the money on the table. So yes, at that moment, they have taken the full on risk where they put everything in the business. They have sold their house, their car, and they all lived in one room, just for them to do this proof of concept, because they have done their research on a span of a couple of years. They have had a couple of working prototypes and they know that it works. So that's where they took that sort of risk. So I would say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Try to find people who would join you in this. I'll try to shed the light on it in a different perspective. Think about it this way. So God created us on earth and gave everyone a purpose. You would notice that there is the fisherman who likes fishing. There's the carpenter who likes to cut wood and deal with it. There's the car mechanic who understands the anatomy of how does a car works just by the sound of it, just by the smell of it, just by the way it shakes or it stands or it starts up or turns off. He would know exactly what's wrong with it and he would be able to solve it. You would notice that the car mechanic wouldn't be interested to be a fisherman, and the fisherman wouldn't be interested to be a carpenter. Probably if he would work long enough, he can do the job. But see, notice that everybody is specialized in something. And that would be also to money. You would notice that so many people with money, they don't know what to do with it. Meaning, not that they don't know how to go to the mall or go shopping or travel. No, how they can use this money to make it get bigger. So what I'm trying to say is, if you have $1,000 or $1,000,000, you'd open a cabinet, put it inside the cabinet and close it. Come back exactly after 1 year, open the cabinet, the money will still be there. It's still going to be $1,000,000. It's not going to be $1,000,000 at 1 cent. Meaning, money does not grow unless you move the money, unless you make the money get in a certain cycle in order to produce more money. Hence why there are companies basically mainly established just to make or just to move the money of rich people. And those companies are called wealth management. So once you get to a certain point of money, you no longer have an accountant team. You have a wealth management company, because for you as a human being to be able to diversify your portfolio and be able to invest in gold here and invest in rice production in Vietnam and be able to invest in grape fields in Czech Republic and be able to invest in a cargo company in Zimbabwe and be able to invest in an airline in Canada, which is linking the states, the inner states, you can't do that as a human being. You need a whole team, a whole company called wealth management. So many people, you would notice that there are so many rich people that you would be able to meet, and they will tell you, listen, I'll put the money on the table if you put the project on the table. Show me what you got. And at that point, these opportunities, they don't come often in life. And if it comes, you better be ready. I'm not trying to sell them an idea. It might be true, like it might be an app, something intangible, but you need to be ready. Think of yourself as an investor. If somebody wants to pitch me an idea and I need to put in my money, 100,000, 50,000, 1 million, 10 million, regardless the number. There are so many investors, when you sit with them, they don't put a cap. They go like, listen, you have an open check. Name a number, 5 figures, 6 figures, 7 figures, 9 figures, unlimited money, I'm in. Just show me what you got. Show me the idea that requires me to put in 9 figures and be able to bring me 9 figures with a bonus or 10 figures or whatever. So at that point, you need to be ready with the research that I told you about. When you are sitting with an angel investor and you're showing him or her all the Excel sheet scenarios the testing that you have done in terms of numbers, forecasting is the word I'm looking for. So you have done all the forecasting in the best case scenario, worst case scenario, in the mid case scenario, based on statistics shared by the government, based on real numbers for the past 2 to 5 to 10 years, based on the movement in the market, based on everything. The more in depth you have a research that you have done, the more you have locked on your project and the more you have the upper hand. Now when the investor wants to tell you it's 70-30, you can talk with a big open mouth and be like, listen, best I can offer you is 15%, 20% if you triple the amount of investment that you're putting in. That's where you have the upper hand, and it's not far away. Like I'm telling you, you need to be ready. You need to have the heart that you might get a big no. You might do a research for a couple of years or 3 years, and you would notice that a bigger company have invested money and they have already taken over the market. You need to be ready for such a thing. You need to be ready that you might tell the idea to someone and that someone might go and do it before you. So I'm not trying to be so grim in my thoughts or the picture that I'm trying to draw, but more or less I'm trying to give you a piece of reality that all the possibilities are ready on the table. On the other side of the cup, the other filled half, it might work and it might launch pretty well. And there is a good chance that you might also make so much money and you'd be financially abundant and be able to grow the company. And the company might grow so much that the guy would offer you, the angel investor or the initial investor, might offer you a buyout plan. Be like, listen, the business is making 5 million a year. How about 35 million and I take all of your shares? You just sold out for 35 million. And we already hear about Instagram was the first company to be sold for $1 billion. I think also Pixar was also one of the companies that were sold for over $1 billion to Disney. You have Dropbox when they have initial their IPO, their initial public offering. That means that they can sell shares. So many stories if you want to check online. So if I would summarize point number 4, I would say do not put all your eggs in one basket. Think it through. Now, point number 5, which is a very beautiful saying that I have read somewhere, that it says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to get far, go with company. Now, this is very dangerous and very sensitive. So hear this with an open mind and an open heart. Whenever I would come and pitch you an idea, you would always think of working with your brother. You would always imagine working with your sister or working with your best friend or working with your girlfriend or wife or husband, whatever it is. Always your loved ones will come to your mind because you have a strong emotional bond with them. And you would always wish that in your mind, when you are dreaming of being financially abundant, free of all chains, being able to move freely, be able to grow a business, you'd always think of your loved ones to be with you on the same boat and helping you out. The harsh reality is, no. There is a very good, I don't want to give it a percentage, but in my world, it's a 99% chance that you shouldn't work with family or with friends. I mean, it is very rare, and again, unicorn stories of HP, Hewlett Packard, him and his brother, or Steve Jobs doing it with Steve Wozniak, which were friends. But hey, he got kicked out from the board. So just to show you that working with your friends doesn't really necessarily mean that it's the success of the business. What I would highly advise you is find people who are in the same wavelength as you, people who think like you, people who are interested in the same topic, people who are having the heart and are willing to sacrifice and put things on the table, whether it was effort, whether it was money, whether it was ideas, whether it was any sort of support on the table to help build the business and go far with you. If you are able to build a team of two, like just two, you'll be able to reach far. Imagine, and the multiplier effect goes up more and more the more you get people. So a team of five at the beginning of the company probably can be as powerful as a company with running with 50 people, and I'm not joking, because the beginning life of a company is exactly as a toddler or as a baby. You need to give it care every day. You need to feed it every day. You need to change the diapers every day. You can't just let it be and be like, listen, I'll see you in 2 weeks where you'll grow up a bit and I'll be able to take care of you. No. But think about it this way. Once they get up to 3 years, they'll be able to go to the bathroom on their own. When they're 4 years, they'll be able to already eat on their own, sleep in their own bed, dress themselves up at least 80%. By the time they're 7 years old, they are on their own. They can do everything. And all what you have to do is basically monitor from far away. You no longer need to come in every day and put in your 12 to 15 hours. Yes, you still need to be around. Now, until to the point where they get into maturity and puberty, and that's where they will be able to grow and flourish and just expand. And this is the life cycle of any company on planet Earth. There is no company that have ever started as a full-on adult and they were able to just operate from day one. Think about it this way. So many people who have sold out. So, example, Elon Musk, when he sold PayPal, or he sold his previous company for $30 million and the previous company for $300 million, when he was able to start X.com or start Tesla or start SpaceX, he was able, yes, to start with more experience, with somewhat a bigger team, meaning a team of like 10 to 15 people. But look at it this way. He still had to take 5 to 6 years to build momentum, to build the products, to build the market share, to build the marketing, to build the name. It is still the same cycle. It's a new toddler. It's a new baby. The old baby, which became a total adult and got sold. Now, it's very bad to say this, that you sold an adult, but get it at face value, what I'm trying to say here. You need to give it time for it to grow. Now, in order to summarize point number five, as I said, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go somewhere, go with company. Now, the moral of this whole podcast, if I would summarize it, is that there is no book that will give you 1, 2, 3 steps of how to start a business and how to exactly do things, and you will exactly have those results and everything is guaranteed. The beauty of the business, and what's scary about having your own business, is that nothing is assured. But as I said in all of my podcasts, lesson number one in economics, the higher the risk, the higher the income, or the higher the chance of income. You can work as an employee and earn your salary. Probably the best thing you can do is get a bonus at the end of the year. But it's something for sure. It's something is you're going to get an SMS by the end of the week or 2 weeks or the end of the month, depending on your payment cycle. And that money will be deposited in your bank account where you can go buy a grocery for the home and pay the rent and pay the bills. You know. Now, if you are running your own business, you might have a very good deal that will have you settled for the next 5 months, and for the next 5 months you will have zero customers. Let's say summer is a low season for you, or if you're in a cold country, winter is an off season for you, where many companies, like as an example, many companies, they would say, okay, in the 3 months of summer, we don't have business. We're just simply going to close, go for a 3 months vacation. It's going to be unpaid. It's going to be half paid or one third paid or whatever, but go home, you know, go to your country, go travel, go somewhere. We're not going to be operating the company because it doesn't make sense if we're going to have 250 people running on a 3 months. And we know for sure that we don't have business in those 3 months. So it's more efficient to cut down on the business. And although it's a very harsh decision, it's a very difficult decision, especially on an emotional level, because I said the way that you start your company and you bring it up is that you feel that it's like a toddler that you are raising. And when you get the decision to stop the company, it's one of the hardest decisions you'd ever take because it's a bleeding limb and you need to cut it. You have came to the understanding that we have tried everything. We have given it time. It's been 2 to 3 years. We have been pragmatic as much as possible. We have been efficient in doing everything. But at the end of the day, this company or this idea was a total failure. We need to unplug. We need to pull the plug. Now, that's where Warren Buffett comes in. And when, as he says, don't put all your baskets in one bag or don't test the water with both of your feet. It's easier said than done, but probably you would have something on the side that's probably you have like a long-term deposit in the bank that's being able to at least cover your monthly bills. You know, at least it will keep the lights on, at least it will keep food on the table. You will not be able to go out or fill in gas in your car, as an example. I said gas, I shouldn't be American. Fill in petrol in your car. This is the influence of watching too many American series. But you would always need a plan B. And that's why I will end it with also a beautiful thing that Warren Buffett has said. He said that I have bought my first bond when I was 11 years old, 11 or 9 years old. And he says, I was already way too late. I wish I had done it when I was 4 years old. Because it's something known in investment. The earlier you invest, the more the reward will be. So everybody today is talking about Bitcoin. And I vividly remember 8 years ago when Bitcoin started rising somewhere in the forums and it was created somewhere. And I really just had the idea that I just wanted to pay $10 or $100 to buy Bitcoin and just see where it will go. But unfortunately, at that time, I didn't have the money. I didn't know the future. I'm not going to lie to you. But I was like, listen, someday Bitcoin probably will be something. And it have hit $21,000 at some point in it for one Bitcoin. I'm not regretting it. I'm just trying to show you an example of the earlier you would invest, the more fruitful it will be in the future. So you would notice that when your kid is born, the moment they are born, you create a bank account for them. That's if you're a smart person. And you'd slowly start depositing money in it, making investments, buying commodities, or probably doing a small type of wealth management on a smaller scale. So by the time they would hit university, not only their tuition is covered, you are freeing them from any sort of liabilities. They can literally do their degree and graduate and probably spend a year or two, which I personally really needed as Anas, and I'm going to be talking about it in another episode. That after university, I highly recommend you need to take a break and think things through. You need to try different things. You want to be successful in your life? I would say you need to work in retail. That's also another topic for another day. You need to work in a supermarket. You need to work with your hand. You need to work in a car wash. You need to deliver pizzas. Not because you need the money, if you were well off, but you need to deal with people. You need to see how does the life cycle of every business works, or probably the business that you like or the type of industry that you are in. You need to get your hands dirty. You need to learn all of these things. These things you can't just learn it from listening to a podcast or watching a YouTube clip. Yes, it might help you dearly. Instead of spending 4 years to learn how does the hypermarket or supermarket business works, you can actually do it in 6 months if you were extremely smart by doing crash courses online, attending webinars, asking questions on your job, listening to podcasts, watching videos. All of these things can play a huge role. But all what I'm trying to say is you need to get in the field. Same thing with working out. You need to be the person who's going to lift up the bar and who's going to be working their muscles to get bigger. I really hope you have liked this episode. I really hope you have also benefited from it. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me. My Instagram is anastalks, that's A-N-A-S talks, one word. On Snapchat and on Twitter, it's anastalking, and on Facebook. So just simply drop me a message. You can easily find me. Type in Anas Shatara. You will find me on any platform. I'll be hoping to see you in the next episode. Make sure to follow me. And if there is a way to turn on the notification settings, do it. Peace.